Happy New Year, everybody. I don't know how 2016 went for all of you, but maybe it could be summed up in this image on the screen here. I can't believe it's been a year since I didn't become a better person. Anybody feeling that for 2016? Research says that only about 8% of people who make New Year's resolutions actually follow through all the way for the year. Only 8%. Unconfirmed research says that those 8% are being dishonest. I don't know. So if you felt a little left out there, you're right back in it again. It is not uncommon as the year comes for us to naturally think of maybe things from the past year that didn't quite work out the way that you had wanted them to, or maybe some things that you're very happy about and you want to see move forward into the new year. So it could be some good experiences, it could be some bad experiences. Probably all of us have a few things, at least a few things that we would like to be doing better. But it doesn't matter. The truth is, all of us as human beings, we all fall short. We are all sinners. I appreciate the words that have been shared this morning, the songs. The idea of revival is always needed for us, isn't it? If you're a visitor here today, I don't know, maybe it's been your goal to make it to today, January 1st, to start out today by going to church. Maybe church is something that you fell out of in last year or in previous years, and you're trying to restart. And I commend you, and I'm very thankful that you're here. Know that God certainly longs for you. His desire is for you. But we're really all on the same path here. We're really all starting anew each day. We need renewal in the Lord and revival in the Lord every single day as followers of Jesus Christ. The next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of reconnecting and renewal. Those of you who've been here at Hillcrest, you're familiar with the connected life idea. And we're going to be going through some of those ideas, but we're talking about renewing our desire for God in our life. Today, we're talking about reconnecting with Christ. And maybe that's not the best way to talk about it. We're really about talking about following Jesus. And you're here at church today, so maybe you can check that off your box, but I want us to think about this with even more depth here, that wherever you're at in knowing Christ, we haven't reached the full depths of His love and His grace and His mercy and His beauty. One of the most wonderful things about being a Christian, I think of the old hymn, "More about Jesus would I know." There's more. Those of you who are seasoned saints, you've been in this for a while. It's been a long time since you first made that confession and entered the waters of baptism. It doesn't matter. Jesus still has more for you, sister or brother who've been following Christ for a while. If you're a younger Christian or if you're just starting out, there's so much ahead of you, so much to enjoy. And we're here to be able to celebrate that together. Reconnecting with Christ. All of you who are Christians, I want you to be able to say this with me. And those of you who are guests as well, say, let's repeat these words together. Go to the next slide there, Scott. The old has gone, the new is here. Let's say that again. The old has gone, the new is here. From 2 Corinthians 5:17 that was read for us earlier. That's a huge statement. That's a powerful statement. Especially if the old that you just experienced from this past year or from recent months or maybe even recent years hasn't been the best. Maybe it's been riddled with a lot of regret. Maybe the past is filled with a lot of burdens and a lot of shame. Maybe it's even distanced you, and it's part of the reason why maybe it's even a struggle to be here today, because the past experience that you had with church, or the past experience that you had in trying to be a Christian, or whatever it might be, it just didn't go well for you. But thank God that this word is true and we're reaching out to this and we are reclaiming this truth from the Word of God here, this promise that through Jesus Christ, believers, we have been made new and everyone gets a fresh start. Amen? We all get a fresh start. Regardless. Jesus made that way for us. He took your place. As we read earlier from verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So this great substitution and transfer has taken place here. You're a new creature. You're God's child. I want us to spend our time this morning talking about growing closer in our devotion to Christ by looking at three things from Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, 25 through 30. In Matthew chapter 11, 25 through 30, we have a prayer from Jesus, a declaration or a message from Jesus, and then an invitation from Jesus. I want us to look at this together. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11 and starting in verse 25. And read along with me. Let's go through all five of these verses and then we'll look at them in piece by piece here. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's look at this text together, especially those verses that we just read there, 25 and 26. And I want you to notice Jesus' prayer, especially thinking in light of the old that is gone, whatever your most recent experiences have been from the past year. Especially if you have some bumps that you wish didn't happen, and maybe you've even wrestled with God and said, I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to thank God for the past year, or the sickness, or the trial at work, or the trials in my home, or wherever it might be. How am I supposed to thank God whenever things don't work out quite the way that we wanted them to? Now, we didn't read in verses 20 through 24, but you'll notice that the words prior to this prayer from Jesus are a series of woes. Woes to cities that Jesus did most of His work. The Bible tells us, Matthew tells us here, that Jesus did His greatest work and His greatest miracles in these three cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. These were the places that got to see the wonders of God worked by Jesus' own hand. But you'll notice one thing that's consistent with these three, and this is why Jesus has the great woes for them. None of them repented. In fact, Jesus said, if the miracles had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that were done in these cities, they would have repented long ago. Ouch, that's a sting, isn't it? Now, these weren't bad people or bad places. They weren't known for great perversion or great sins or great violence, any of those things. In fact, what they're going to go down in history and what they're recorded in the Gospels for is that they're the people who just didn't do anything. Jesus came, He worked, He revealed His power, He revealed the message of God's kingdom, and no one responded. And yet, Jesus still finds a way to offer up thanksgiving to God here. And I love how Jesus does this. And I want to encourage you to model in your own life this kind of prayer, especially when things are difficult. Especially when you're saying, Lord, I've given you the very best. I'm doing all that I can here, and I'm just not seeing it happen the way that I thought it would happen. The results just don't seem to be there. Jesus thanks God here for the little ones. The little children, he says. Infants. The wise and the learned, those who should have known, they didn't respond. Those unlikely ones, like we spent a series looking at the Christmas story and how God used the unlikely ones, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, Simeon, Anna, the list goes on and on, the wise men. Here's Jesus saying, God, I'm thankful for the little ones who do believe. Maybe you already have a regular practice of doing this. I want to encourage this. As we're starting out a new year, I want you to put the little things that God is doing for you on a regular basis at the forefront of your prayer life. Because the little things do matter. And the little ones, the people, the small, the ones who maybe we don't always say, God, I'm so thankful for that neighbor. I'm so thankful for that sister or brother that sits near me at church. Or I'm so thankful for that one, that greeter who hands me the welcome sheet each Sunday. Or that Sunday school teacher who's teaching my child in class. Or that person who's always has that great smile whenever I see him on a Monday morning, and that's the last thing that I'm ready to offer up. God, I praise you for these little ones and these little things. Jesus moves from this thanksgiving and this prayer and then offers up this declaration in verse 27. Notice Jesus' declaration here. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. I had an interesting phone call several years ago. At church, I received a phone call from a gentleman who had a lot of bizarre questions. When you're in ministry or preaching or when you serve at a church, and I'm sure some of the folks here have had these from time to time, you get some weird questions. I can only imagine what some of our Bible scholars here have received, some strange questions. I bet Everett has some really weird questions that he's been asked before over the years. But I got a weird one of these phone calls. And I could not figure out where he was going, but it had to do with the identity of Jesus. And basically what he was saying was, Jesus never claimed to be God's Son. And we didn't go very far in our conversation. Church, we need to recognize the very bold and the significant claim that Jesus makes about Himself and why it's important. Who Jesus is matters. That He's not just a prophet or not just a good moral teacher or not just a good storyteller or not just a miracle worker, even though those characteristics would fit on His resume here. The fact that He has the intimate and unique and the one-of-a-kind relationship of being God's only Son, the divine Son of God, makes all the difference between why we're able to gather and worship and praise Him today as sinners who have been saved or those otherwise who would be above all else to be pitied. Jesus is the divine revelation of God Himself. Everything that we want to know about God or that can be revealed in flesh, Jesus is this. And it's a beautiful thing. And you need to know who He is if you're going to know who His Father is. Several years ago, whenever my son Caleb was about 6 years old, I love this story, my daughter was about 16 or so, and as is very common, 16-year-old girls have a habit of attracting 16-year-old or so boys. And a young man had shown up at our house, and when you lived out in Sweeney, Texas, if you really wanted to impress a girl, you drive up on a four-wheeler. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? This young man drove up to our house on his four-wheeler and was talking to my daughter outside. And I don't know where I was at the time, but my six-year-old son, Caleb, decided he needed to check this out. And so he went outside and he sees the young man there on his four-wheeler, he was not impressed. He walked back and forth and he looked at him and he walked back again and he looked at him. And finally he interrupted the teenagers who were in conversation and he said this, "Do you know my dad? My dad works out every day." And I love my son for this. At 6 years old, he's going to make sure that not just anyone is hanging around his sister, that they respect her. And you know what? He was right on all levels. That's my daughter. That's not just anybody. And how you treat her and what you do towards her is going to affect me. When Jesus speaks up here, and this is for us, church, this is even for us as we enter into 2017, all these years since Jesus first uttered these words. You need to be able to know that you are so significant to God that He sent His one and only Son to invite you into an exclusive relationship that no one has ever been able to know before because it was so intimate and so close that it could only be known between a father and a son and those to whom the Son chose to reveal Him. Jesus says, "You need to know who my dad is." It makes all the difference here. The prayer, the word, and then the invitation here. You're familiar with this text. I don't care how many times you've heard this. This is the sweetest words, isn't it? We think of Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. I don't know why we don't talk enough about Matthew 11, 28 through 30 and Jesus' great invitation. These are some of the sweetest words that have ever been said. Jesus' invitation here. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you raise your hand whenever Jesus speaks up and says, "Is there anybody out there who's feeling weary?" Let me know if you're in the crowd today and you're feeling burdened. Do you hear Jesus reaching out here? I don't know how you feel about some different translations of Scripture, but I love how the Message translates this. Listen to how Eugene Peterson in the Message translate this. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest." We need this, don't we? We need to be able to know that Jesus can help me, not just on the good days whenever the church is gathering together and lifting up a voice to God and saying amen and hallelujah. We need Jesus whenever I'm feeling low. And I'm not sure if church is where I need to or where I want to be. I need Jesus even more in that moment. And I need to hear Him talking to me and saying, "Listen, what I'm offering you is not a church campaign or a religious slogan. What I'm offering you is me." Relationship with Jesus Christ. The church has existed for 2,000 years, but the message and the mission has not changed, has it? Our goal and our desire remains the same. We want people to be connected to Jesus Christ. We want people to be in relationship with Jesus Christ because we believe and we confess together as a people, along with those who confess and believe the name of Jesus all across the globe, all those who believe that He is the divine Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He took our place, that He was risen from the grave, and that He offers that invitation of life to all those who will believe and receive and follow Him. We still lift up this truth that turning to Jesus and following Jesus, Jesus Himself, alive in the church, is the purpose and is the calling and is the way that we come to God. It's bigger than the names of churches on signs. It's bigger than the latest slogans that we come up with here. And it was bigger in Jesus' day too. You know, there were a lot of different yokes that were available. There were a lot of different institutions. There are a lot of different things to learn from. Part of the reason why Jesus met so much resistance from many in the crowd is He did not champion the cause, at least it didn't seem to many. He didn't speak enough about Torah, or He didn't speak enough about some of the laws that they had created. In fact, they had a whole series, didn't they, of man-made laws. The Pharisees were famous for this. Not only was the Word of God offered, but a series of, Jesus called them burdens. And later, Matthew will speak to the Pharisees about the burdens. And he calls them hypocrites. And he calls them out in Matthew 23 and he says, You've made this more difficult than it needed to be. Jesus says, My yoke is easy and My burden is light. It doesn't mean that the Christian life it has no problems or no challenges. But what Jesus is offering here is deliverance and freedom that can't be found in any other place or any other source. It doesn't mean that you won't face struggles as you go forward with 2017. I don't know what's around the horizon for you. But what it means is that Jesus is not going to walk out on you this year. He never will. He'll be there for you. He'll be there with you in the midst of it. Whatever's coming ahead, Jesus is going to be right there with you. He's not going to cut tail and run. He's going to be right beside you, yoked with it, and He will be your strength and support through the midst of whatever is coming ahead. And that gives me great joy. And that makes me so happy that it's Jesus who's offering this. Because we could never do this. It's an invitation to follow Jesus, to be with Him, and to learn from Him. This statement, learn from me, we feel the calling of discipleship in that statement, don't we? And as we mentioned before, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, there's still so much more to learn from Jesus, isn't there? There's still areas and places where I want to grow, where I want to see Him in my life. One of the happiest invitations that I received was over 17 years ago. I was invited to a friend date. Do you ever have a friend date before? You need to be careful if you are invited. Those of you who are single, if you are invited on a friend date this year, that friend could end up being somebody that you live with for the rest of your life. Because my friend date was Heather over 17 years ago, and it was with my sister and my brother-in-law, and we were just going on a friend date together to the movies and to dinner, and it just so happened that once that friend date happened in my life, I wanted to have this Heather to be my friend for the rest of my life. And God really opened my eyes through that. But we were both invited to that together. And it changed our lives. There's nothing like this invitation from Jesus in the way that it will change your life for the better, forever. What comes with this learning and what comes with this discipleship is one of those difficult words that we often try to avoid, and that's submission. Submission. We have to yield our own will. We have to yield our desire for control in life to the Lord. Go ahead and go to the next slide there. Submission takes consistent investment over time. I know that we would like everything to happen in a high-speed way. We have high-speed technology. We have high-speed information. We don't just have high-speed internet. We have instant access to an overflow of all kinds of things at the touch of our fingers. But the process of walking and learning and relationship with Jesus Christ is not an immediate event. Sitting through one sermon today is not going to be enough. But spending time with God in prayer, in His Word, on a continual basis will have a dramatic effect on the way you think and on the way you feel and on the way that you even see others and behave towards others. Your language will be affected. Your heart will be affected. You may have heard of the missionary Frank Laubach, who was a missionary in the Philippines many, many decades ago, and he wrote a book about experiencing Christ's presence. And he said that he had decided in his own desire, in his own personal desire to want to grow closer to the Lord, he decided that he would take 1 second out of every minute and think about Jesus. Now, 1 second doesn't sound very big, but think about that for just a minute. Taking 1 second from every waking minute in your day to just turn and think about Jesus. He wrote in his book, and he said after 4 weeks, he started to notice a dramatic change in the way that he felt. He felt closer to God. He saw God's presence in little things that were happening around him that he hadn't noticed before. Just because he had intentionally focused his mindset on thinking about Jesus. What do you have in mind in your future here, as you're wanting to grow closer to the Lord? Maybe it's a desire to renew your focus in Scripture and studying God's Word each day. Maybe you're wanting to read through the Bible this year, or maybe just make a commitment of reading the Bible daily, or setting aside time in your day, every day, to spend in meditation and prayer with God, to have your own devotional time with God each day. Maybe your desire is to have more time with devotion and Scripture and prayer as a family. I remember the story that Houston Heflin, many of you know, he's a professor here at ACU, and he's taught some here, some of our classes. Houston Heflin shared a story with me before about a time where he intentionally wanted to make sure he had regular Bible study time, but he thought to himself, how much have my children, he has three beautiful daughters, how much have my children seen me studying Scripture? And so he was sitting out on his couch, but he went and got his Bible, and he sat down and was reading his Bible on the couch. And as he was sitting there, his daughter saw him, and she went out of the room. And she came back and she sat at her dad's feet with her Bible open. He hadn't said anything to her. He hadn't said, honey, I want you to go get your Bible and let's read our Bibles together. He hadn't said to himself, let me see if I can manipulate my child into being more godly. That wasn't what happened. But he tried to be intentional about practicing his faith. And he believed that it was important that his children, his daughter, would see that. Your example and your relationship, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ has such a powerful impact on the people around you in ways that you and I don't even think about. They might not even notice. The goals and desires that you might have in your personal walk with Jesus this year have an effect on the community. for better or for worse. They are watching. We are watching. You are watching. And your faith and my faith, we affect each other. Those who are in the church family and those who are outside as well. The question really comes down to this. You know, we said at the outset that only 8% actually keep their resolutions. You know, at the behind of goals and things like that, what we really do with our lives has to do with our desire. And answering the question, what do you want? What are you really wanting? We can tell God that we want this. We can tell our spouses or our families that we want this or that for ourselves or for them. There was a crippled man that Jesus encountered here in John chapter 5. And you would think, what a bizarre question for Jesus to ask this man who's trying to get into this pool to be healed. But he still asked the question, do you want to be made well? You see, because behind the healing of Jesus is transformation. To follow Jesus is to be changed, which means life as you knew it, and just maintaining things, keeping things just the way they were, is not the business of Jesus. What He's calling you to, when you say yes to Jesus' invitation, what He's calling you to is change. And if change is not what you want, or if that's the one area we say, Jesus, I want you as long as everything can stay the same, you're not going to be able to follow through with that. But if you're turning to the Lord today, or if your prayer for 2017 is, Father, I want to be closer to you. I want to know you more. I want you to grow within my heart. I want your Holy Spirit to fill up my life in my mind. I want you to reign over my household. I want you to strengthen my love and my devotion to my spouse and how I treat my children and how I treat my coworkers, or how I look at those who are around me in the community. If that's the desire that you're wanting, don't you know the Father? Don't you know the one that Jesus is revealing here? How He longs to respond and come to action when those prayers are lifted up by His children? When more of Jesus is what you want, God is able to offer more than you can ever ask or imagine. Where are you at today? Maybe you do need to make some changes in your life. This church family is not here to point fingers. This church family is here to journey together, to grow together. When you make a decision for Jesus Christ, we're all going to be blessed and strengthened by that. Maybe you're making that reconnect with Him today. Maybe you need to come forward and respond and have the elders pray over you. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I want you to know the greatest invitation, those words of Jesus are real. He longs for you. He's done the work. He's already taken your place on the cross. What He's inviting you to do is to submit your life and your will and control over to Him. Repent. Turn your life to Him. Confess your sins. Be immersed with Him. Have His Spirit born into you. If you're not a Christian, I hope that you are considering that decision in your life going forward. If you have any needs of any kind, you can come to Jesus right now as we stand and sing.